Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
You gonna intro this first one?
Yeah, welcome to the TagCast Podcast. Episode 6, right?
Yeah, episode 6.
Step right up. All right, so thanks for tuning in. It is Wednesday, hump day. And like I said, episode 6. Thanks you guys for listening. What do you got going on today, Gatch?
I don't have anything going on today. What did you do this weekend?
This weekend, what did I do? I played a show on Friday, last Friday, up at the Ash Street Saloon.
Oh, that's right, Bikini, right?
Yeah, it was our first show in Portland, and we played with Paper Train and a band called Idle Tap and Gnosis with
I've put on a show with Paper Train before. Those guys are cool guys.
Yeah, yeah, he was pretty cool. It was kind of one of those weird things where he's like, dude, I've been waiting so long to meet you, you know, because we never met, but we talked online and stuff. And he goes, can I get a picture with you out here? He's like, this dude's a badass guitar player. And I was like, never seen my band, but I know he's listened to the albums, and I appreciate it. It just made me feel kind of weird. But he was a cool dude, Zach, and they rocked for, they did about 45 minutes, and he said he was just getting warmed up. You know, they like to play
longer sets.
So,
did he do his crazy rock moves?
No, I didn't see him rolling around. I went outside for a little while, but he may have. But then they had like two more songs that they wanted to play, and Heather kind of said, cut off. You're cut off. Yep. So he was kind of bummed about that. And there wasn't a ton of people, but it was a fun show. The Idle Tap band, I think they were from Portland, and they brought in a pretty good crowd, but most of those people left after they were done, which was kind of a bummer. And I try to stress that, you know, when you go out to a show, or if you're putting on a show or your band's playing a show, I hate when people ask when you're playing, you know. I think they should just go out to the whole show. They just say it starts at this time and it gets done. Come out and support the whole thing.
It's a tough...
And it is, you know.
When somebody asks you that, you know, I mean, because you want to support the other bands, especially as a band member yourself, and it's just...
Right.
And, you know, I mean, and I even watch the whole show because, you know, if one band is good, you can guarantee the other three are going to be good, too. You know?
And I feel even bad sometimes when I'm in a band and I have to be outside getting my stuff. And, you know, or if I go outside to visit with friends, I like to be in there to support the bands at all times. But it's not always possible because sometimes you got.
And sometimes it just feels like a giant house party like it does down at the Dixie Creek in Tangent.
Yep. I heard you went down there on Saturday.
I went down there, I went and saw Sick Man, the Alice in Chains tribute band from Eugene.
Now, I had seen on the flyer that it was supposed to be unplugged, but from the pictures I saw...
I don't think it was unplugged. No. In fact, they had...
I think they wanted it to be because Cascade Rye Strange Dichotomy.
I missed Cascade Rye, unfortunately. I heard good things about them. But the Sick Man, is... I always wonder if Alice in Chains, if Layne Staley stubbed his toe when he did that one song. Ow!
Yeah.
Ow!
Like maybe
they
he stubbed
sounded great,
it.
Man. It brought me right back to the days when that, you know, music was out and you know, on the summer days, pumping the Alice in Chains. I thought they sounded really great.
Yeah.
You know, and they had Floyd from Forest Dolls Folly came up and played like two or three songs with them on guitar.
He did.
And even overlapping Carl. Standard as Carl came on stage, they had, what, three guitars going on for a while?
Yeah, I seen some pictures from Black Forest and saw that Carl was playing with them, and I asked if he was in the band. I don't think he really is, but he sets in with them.
Yeah, it's
great. I was like, man, that Gibson is sweet. Is that yours? He has a nice Gibson Les Paul, which is pretty cool.
It was fantastic seeing a lot of people there, too, so it was a good show.
Right on. I wanted to go, but I was up at the Helium Comedy Club, wasting my time at the competition. No, it wasn't.
How did
a way.
That go?
I could say, oh, I lost, but no, I had a great attitude. I did not make it through, but the competition was so stiff, it was like ridiculous. I don't know if any of our listeners are familiar with Anthony Lopez, but he is one funny dude. He has a speech impediment, and he's half Mexican, and he kind of talks like Elmer Fudd a little bit, but he is just hilarious. He has this bit about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and another one about Rubik's Cube. You got to go check out Anthony Lopez. He was one of the finalists, as well as Will Woodruff, which we're familiar with Will. Yeah, he made it through. And
nice.
Let me see if I can remember. Oh, his name is, it's coming to me, his name is Cody McKillar. I can't say his last name because he changed it. His name is Cody Smith. Still is. But if you Google Cody Smith, like 100 people come up.
Sure.
So
so
he changed his stage name to his middle name is his last name. So
right on.
Anyway, I'd seen him before in Eugene. He's a real funny dude. And I thought that was kind of funny. Dennis Williams was also in the competition, who was a finalist in the last competition I was in. He came in second at that Willamette Valley's Funniest Person thing.
Nice.
And well, him and Cody are roommates, and they just ended up in the same pool swimming together as comics. No, they had to go up against each other.
Oh, wow.
And their roommates. So one of them made it and the other one didn't. So I was just wondering if they're still friends. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was a great night. I had a good set. I did watch the video afterwards. And while I did get good reactions and whatnot, I need to slow down. I go on and keep talking when people are laughing. I need to give them a chance to laugh. Yep. And also, I had my set all planned out. You have to do at least 4.5 minutes and not more than 6. Actually, a couple people went a few seconds over, and that deducts points. Actually, it adds points because their judging system was kind of unique. I'd never seen it. They give you the list of paper with all the 11 comedians on it, and you have to put them in order from 1 to 11.
Oh, I see.
And so the person with the lowest score is the winner
because
they add up your score. So if you had all ones, then you'd only have... Well, there was over 150 people there, which was awesome to do a set in front of 150 people. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. Tough competition, though. There was only one girl, and she was real funny, too, but she didn't make it through. So they're going to have 24, I think, when they get all down to it, and $1,000 grand prize. So it was a good experience, though, getting to hang out in the green room with those comedians that I kind of look up to who have been doing a lot longer than me. All the guys that did qualify have been at it for years, you know. Mm-hmm. Will's been doing it about 6 years, and he had a great set. I mean, not that he doesn't always, but I've heard of most of his stuff, and I was still, you know, cracking up at some of the jokes that I'd already heard before. But
so I got mine coming up on Thursday, and I have not prepared at all. I'm thinking of bailing.
Well, there was a couple no-shows. Actually, the night that I did it, there was one guy. And it was weird. His name was Token.
At worst.
His name was just Token. So
at
worst,
I'm just donating $20 to the prize pool, you know, and I don't feel bad about that. I mean, I'd hate to let down the people that want to go and see me show, but I just don't have any material.
Yeah. And the lady was real, like, she said.
It's all on me, though, for not preparing.
She said, you know, once you get to 4.5 minutes, then you're officially in the competition. She goes, if you don't go 4.5, then you're pretty much, they're not going to go up there and say, this guy's disqualified. But
yeah, they'll let you still roll, but you know, but I still don't have anything. I mean,
yeah, and like I was saying,
was there anybody up there like reading off paper?
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
So.
And there was a couple guys that you could tell were new that hadn't been doing it, and they were a little bit,
but they probably at least like read that they're.
No,
they'd set,
they did
right?
their thing, you know, and like I said, I should have slowed down because by the time I got to the end, the light comes on in the back. There's a red light, and it comes on in the competition. It comes on at 4.5 minutes to tell you you've made it past. Uh-huh. You're in the competition now, and then it comes on again at 5:45, which gives you 15 seconds to get off the stage. Now, if you go over 6 minutes, each second adds a point. So if you if you go over 10 seconds, then that's 10 more points added to your score, which is gonna, you know, drag you down.
Yeah.
They said actually some people were close enough to have been finalists and then they went over and it kept them from being finalist, just from going over. So she was real strict on that and saying that if you don't do 4.5, you're not even in. And when I got done with my stuff, I had to like go into my brain and think of what's my funniest, you know, it kind of sucked because I really wasn't ready for it because the light hadn't came on yet and I was kind of done with my set because I rushed through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told my newest corny joke and I'll share it with you, but it's corny. You might appreciate it because you love corn jokes.
I like corny jokes.
It's Maisie, dude. It's an amazing joke. Let's do it. Okay, if you help someone steal a belt or a purse, does that make you an accessory as well? And they're like, oh, it was a groaner. And it wasn't even nasty. You know, usually if you get a groaner, it's like, yeah, I stuck my fucking stump in her cunt or something. You're like, oh, you're like, did you hear that reaction? I almost got an applause break. But yeah, so I had to go in and I did my deaf joke and I was just kind of pulling stuff off the top of my head. And
yeah. Well, it was a good experience for you. And
It was wonderful.
I don't know if it'd be a positive experience for me if I just go out there with nothing and I have to do 4.5 minutes.
Right.
You know, if it's not going to be a positive experience for me,
you'll get up there and tell one joke. You're like, hey,
yeah, and then just stand there. And
in
then,
Hawaii, I heard your spam emails are good email.
Yeah, and then
they'll
be shocked
like
into never wanting to do it again. You know? And they'll
be like,
I don't want that.
Get
experience.
Off the stage, you stupid idiot.
Oh, well, I want to invoke that. You know, I just want to be prepared with the material.
Yeah, I would definitely not recommend. I was really surprised that you had entered, which,
yeah,
you know, that's,
you know,
one way to get yourself
thing,
to do it,
you know?
On a whim, and
well, yeah,
you never
but
know.
It didn't help me
but
prepare.
To do a competition of this caliber for
well,
your
fine.
Second
I'm fine
time.
I'm fine with it, too, you know.
Yeah. And this has got to let all the listeners know. If you're planning on going up tomorrow to see Gatch, go to see someone else. Because
yeah.
But if
well,
you
I
mentioned,
encourage
you, can
you to go out and see some comedy either way, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we support the local comedy.
Actually, the night before, on Friday, there was only 7 people show up for a 10-person group. So
oh, wow.
It's not unheard of. People.
Well, I did check the actual event that the Helium put on Facebook. There, I was the only one going. Still.
That of theirs?
For tomorrow's
night? Yeah, but all
date.
The comics have been making their own pages saying, come support.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true, too.
Stephanie Pertle's on your night as well. And,
yeah, yeah. I know I wouldn't be getting through. I was just thinking about the experience. But
yeah,
you know,
I said that to people, and they're like, dude, you're funny. And I was like, well, I know, but you don't know who I'm going up against. And these people have been doing it for years.
They got their tight little 5-minute set,
I mean,
you know.
A lot of them have day jobs, but they still do it, like, unrelentingly. And they, there was a weird story, and we got to talk about it backstage. A guy who's a headliner and I don't know. I don't even care. He's not going to be listening to this, and I don't even know the guy. But his name's Ron Osborne, and the people I talked to, they didn't really have that many good things to say about the dude. He's been doing comedy for over 20 years, and he was in a Doritos commercial, so he's an actor.
Jay Leno?
Is Ron Osborne. Anyway, he took this kid with him over to Pendleton to do some shows, some paid shows as a headliner, and he brought this guy as his feature act. And the guy, like, bombed a little bit. And didn't do the full amount of time. So the headliner had to do a longer set and this and that. And so the guy ripped on him on stage.
Yeah, extended his set by ripping on him.
Exactly, and saying, man, that guy was terrible. I just want everybody to know that my set has nothing to do with the previous act. I'm not affiliated with it anymore. You know, and sending him mean text messages. Well, the long of the short of it, or whatever you say, the dude left him in Pendleton.
Oh, really? Wow.
After he said, if I'm going to keep doing that, if you're going to keep being a dick, then I'm going to leave you. And he kept being a dick, so he left him. And then there was a big thing. And then there was a thing on the Portland Comics Board about asking whether you should ditch someone, even if they're being a dick. And everybody has different opinions. Most people said I would be professional about it, and he would get a ride home, but he would not enjoy his ride home in my car. For 4 hours or however long it takes to get to Pendleton. So that was kind of a weird situation. I got to get into because the guy that left him was competing in the next round. And that's Tim Hammer. He's a real funny kid, too. And everybody has good stuff to say about Tim. I've met him a few times, and I've seen him perform the time I did Helium before he performed that night. And he's got some real funny stuff. He's more of a one-liner kind of guy. And he's real kind of quiet and kind of talks like this a little bit. But he's a good kid, and he stood up for what he thought he should do. And I think that that's pretty awesome. But also in the same sense, it would suck to get stranded in Pendleton when, I mean, you can get a ride home, I'm sure. But so, that was a little side note that we got to talk about there at Helium.
I was at a Super Bowl party one time, and I'm a Raiders fan, and the Raiders are playing against Tampa Bay. And, you know, there's quite a bit, Pat and Ron, you know, Raiders fans.
Pat Wambacher. We'll
yeah,
call him later.
Our friend Derek.
Derek Terrell?
Yeah. He's a Colts fan, and
yes,
he got loaded drunk and was started rooting on.
This
Tampa
must have been
Bay
on a day that ended in Y.
While Tampa Bay, you know, was destroying the Raiders.
Oh, he got mad that day, didn't he?
And he was just like, you know, rubbing it in, and he's not even a Tampa Bay fan. And, you know, it came down to Pat just pretty much having to tell him, hey, man, you know, you keep it up, you're going to be walking home. And we were out in the middle of nowhere, you know, but, man, he was just rubbing it in. And, you
Did
know, Ron was just getting mad because he takes the Raiders very seriously.
Hells,
you know?
Yeah. Well, about as serious as Derek takes those Colts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, there's rabid fans that's their team.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of funny. I don't know who said it. Somebody did, but I just love this little analogy that teams are always trading people, basketball teams, football teams, and then all of a sudden you hate that dude because he's not on your team anymore. So really, they're just kind of rooting on the jerseys.
Yeah, that is true.
Whoever's in the jersey is cool.
But that's what they tried to do in basketball, though. They tried to, you know, bring it back to where, you know, you were from the area.
I almost watched that movie the other day on my Netflix binge. But
have you never seen it?
I've seen it.
Okay.
I just hadn't seen it in a while, and I was going to watch it, but I got so many great, maybe go on to the next topic here, great suggestions for movies via my Facebook friends.
Oh, nice.
I posted the thing on Facebook that said I was going to work outside, but it started piddling on my head. It's June, for God's sake, and it's raining. But,
I hope you watched Pink Flamingos, which is what I suggested.
I haven't, yeah. It wasn't in the instant. There was so many that weren't in the instant queue.
Okay,
like,
well,
Matt,
have you ever seen that movie?
No, but Mike Capps, the drummer from Destroy the Deck,
yeah,
he suggested Backdoor Sluts 9, and I was pissed because the Netflix.
That's not on Netflix.
No, that's on South Park. But I did watch. What did they tell me to watch? Oh, my one friend said if you have some weed in 3 hours, you should watch Enter the Void. But I didn't really have 3 hours to get to dedicate to one movie. I wanted to watch a couple movies in the day. So, but remember that movie I was talking about that had KG from Tenacious D?
Yeah.
I figured out what it was called. It was called Barry Mundy. Mundy
is
the guy's name.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's the guy. You ever watch that movie called Hard Candy?
Yeah.
Where that chick tortured that dude? It was that dude. That actor, I can't remember his name, but he was this dude who was like, and I think I told the story on the other episode a week or two ago, but we were trying to remember the name of it, and I just wanted to tell any listeners who were wondering what that movie was, where KG was
Fantastic
in
Fantastic Barry Mundy.
Barry Mundy.
Mundy,
yes,
if I believe correctly,
M-U-N.
In my photographic memory.
You're good, man. But what else did I watch? I got a suggestion from a friend that said to watch I Love You, Philip Morris with Jim Carrey.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
It's Brokeback Mountainy.
What?
It was pretty good at first. It's a total true story about this con guy. He was married to this lady. It's Jim Carrey, and he's married to this lady for 20 years or something. And then he all of a sudden just decided to come out of the closet. He was gay the whole time, and it showed Jim Carrey, like, sweaty naked, like, pounding this dude from behind. Yeah, I mean, it didn't show anything.
I knew he had a life-altering moment a while
back. But then
back,
it had,
so
like, that
life bit.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan.
It was Ew. Because him and
Ewan.
Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor
Ewan,
were lovers.
What are you,
and they were like kissing in jail. And
what?
Like, yeah, it was like, but it was a good enough movie that I actually like kind of went in the other room when they were having any gay scenes. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just don't like watching guys kiss.
Another show that's
I love
like
gay
that,
people.
If you've ever seen HBO's 6 Feet Under. Have you ever watched
no.
that? There's
Is that about
a, there's
Robin?
A predominant gay couple in it, and it's the guy from Dexter.
I thought it was the
and,
guy from Bee Gees.
It's a great show, really. You know, it's about a family of morticians, I guess is what you would call it, right? And just like their personal things that they go, you know, going through the personal things that the family does. Their father who owned the business, you know, died. And so it was pretty much left in the hands of a son who didn't want anything to do with the business. And then one that had been there for the whole time waiting for it. It was left to both of them, and they had to work together, you know, and living with the family and stuff. It's a great show, but not as great as The Wire. If you've ever seen the HBO's The Wire, that
I haven't
has
seen
the greatest
that.
Mini or five series, season series.
Greatest ever?
It's great, yeah. It's set in Baltimore, and it's just great storylines about the inner city of drugs.
Baltimore?
the little block down there of the drug dealers.
That's where they had the Maryland Death Fest.
And the play, the interplay between the police and how they kind of just, at one point, just accepted it and moved it to one area, and then what happens as a result of that. And it's a great series. I definitely
recommend
it. I'll
check it out. Now, I don't know who told me this, but is it true that Baltimore has a very large population of black people?
Yeah, I do believe so, right? Yeah. Down in the projects and stuff, yeah.
See, I didn't know that. And I don't know how big Baltimore is, but...
I do not know either. And
Maryland
really
just
kind of
sounds like a white
how it was
place.
Like that. Yeah, you know, it was real...
I don't know why.
It was kind of a study of like, the different classes that go on down in there, you know, and how do you control hard drugs in a city so big, you know? You can't really just shut it off. You almost have to move it to one area, and then, you know, there's ramifications of doing that as well.
You just force them into one area of the neighborhood and then just fucking bomb it.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. So The Wire, did that have to do with the fact that people were narking or doing confidential
stuff? There's some confidential stuff going on in there, too.
Like wearing wires? Is that what it's about, probably? Or
no,
talk about the news?
The backstory was they were, I think that they were wiretapping them the whole
time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's great. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I definitely recommend it when anybody wants to watch a series.
Also, when I watched, not that day, but a few days before that, because I was talking to my friend who blows glass, and he used to work with Paris Chong, which is Tommy's son, before they got raided, and Tommy
Chong. Not Ray Don Chong.
No, that's his sister, half-sister. She's half black. But anyway, there's a movie out called AKA Tommy Chong, and that's another good one to check out. It's a documentary, and it talks about how they fucking raided his house with like a SWAT team at 6 in the morning,
SWAT?
Fucking helicopters and all these DEA agents, and all they
SWAT?
Were looking, yeah,
what?
All they were looking for was glass pipes, and they did have like a little less than a pound of weed, and his wife was like, you know, a lot of you people think, oh, they had a pound of weed, and she's like, if you smoke weed, you know that a pound of weed really isn't that much. I mean, it's what, 16 ounces? That's going to last you what? 16 days? Just kidding.
No, yeah, well, you know, I mean,
he smokes a lot.
You know, that's four months. That's nothing. You know, if you got the money to spend on that supply, you might as well buy in bulk.
And he has a card for it, you know, and then he went to a nice federal prison. You know, it wasn't bad, but he did go to prison, which is bad. And I just think that it sucks that they. And then it had, like, the interviews with him after he got out. He went on Jay Leno and stuff. And
something that's not hurting anybody else, you know.
Yeah, Jay Leno's like, is it really illegal to sell pipes? He goes, because I could go down on the wharf there and buy one. In San Diego or anywhere else, and he goes, no, it's only illegal if it has my name on it, man. Or if it has a picture of Tommy Chong on it. And, but, yeah, that's a great movie. It talks about the early career of Cheech and Chong and how he used to play in Detroit Motown bands. He was a guitar player, and looks totally different. I just didn't realize, you know, I didn't know who Tommy Chong was until Dave's Not Here.
Yeah,
which was a... thanks to my parents and their crazy friends that used to play Billy Was a Mountain by Frank Zappa and Dave's Not Here by Cheech and Chong.
Oh, I loved Big Bamboo. It was the one that I was rotating as a child.
I actually found that. Speaking of
Sister Mary Elephant.
Shut up! Yeah, I was in a Goodwill, I believe, in...
Nice. Did it have the paper in it?
It did.
What?
It was all wrinkled up.
What?
What? I don't know if you guys are ready for this, but we're going to have a podcast in the future that's going to be a compilation of every time Dustin says,
what?
And it's a lot. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but...
it'll be some bonus content.
Not being narcissistic, but you know you got to go back and listen to the show to make sure you know what people are hearing, what you're putting out there, because we're just kind of rolling off the top of our heads. And I just noticed that it's kind of like on another radio show that I listen to, they always point out when the DJs say, thing is... and it was like 50. They were saying, you said it like 50 times in 4 hours. You see, the thing is, or here's the thing. And so they were like getting real like self-conscious about it. So they weren't saying, here's the thing. So I don't want you to get self-conscious and not say, what?
No, I was getting a little bit self-conscious because I was saying, you know what I mean, a lot. Speaking of that, what was that Texas thing?
Okay, so I'm in Safeway earlier today, and I didn't have anything to write on. I could have put it on a note in my phone, but I figured I'd just text it to Gatch, and he wouldn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and I was like, what do you mean?
Let me see if I can. Six messages. What's going on? My phone's blowing up, and I'm trying to record
that? Have you ever watched Vampires Suck? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
You have?
No, I saw it on Netflix, but I didn't watch it.
Oh, it's like a spoof on Twilight. I'm not a big Twilight fan.
Oh, yeah. Our daughter was watching it.
But one of the last names of the people were the Sullens.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I'm suing them. Anyway, so I sent Dustin a message that said, Mexican speaking in Spanish while interjecting plenty of you know what I means and other English sayings as filler. So we're literally standing in line at Safeway, and there's these two Mexican ladies behind us. I think that's the PC. I saw this TV show, and this guy's like, oh, I don't want to be racist or anything, but I didn't want to call you a Mexican. And the guy's like, we like to be called Mexicans. That's what we are. That's our heritage. We're proud of it. Call me a Mexican. Yep. It's better than call me Hispanic or some other derivative of that.
Anything else just makes both people feel awkward.
So these ladies are talking like, you know how when Spanish people talk, it's so fast. And so they're talking really fast in Spanish, and they go, you know what I mean? And it wasn't even like Cheech, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't even like a Spanish
with the accent.
There was no accent, man. They'd be talking in Spanish, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And like they would say that, and there was a couple others, like, I don't know if it was you know or you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean? But it was just weird.
Saying.
So like that leads me to believe that they really, when they speak English, they don't have an accent. So it's not like really their second language, because if it's second language, you usually talk like this, man.
It's Spanish. I don't know. Like if you were, I think you gather so accents. So
if,
like
if you're talking really fast in English and then you say, ¿qué pasa? You know, that's just weird. That makes me understand a little bit more. They probably heard people saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In English so much that they're just saying,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think if we were down there in the culture though, and we were used to talking in Spanish and saying que pasa to people, I don't know, it might just be one of those you don't even realize you're saying it.
Right. It just made me feel like they were probably saying something that they didn't want us American English speakers.
They might have been.
And I shouldn't think that, but I always do, because like sometimes you'll see people talking in English and then all of a sudden they see you and they're like,
Maybe they were just fucking with you. Maybe they just like to fuck with people in line.
Exactly. That's probably. They just wanted to give me a topic.
Yeah, we were talking about the Vampire Suck movie and the last name. I think it's a spoof on Twilight.
Our little kid watched it.
Yeah, I've never really watched them. My girlfriend's really into the books and the movies, but their last name, the spoof thing, was the Sullens, and I just thought, I always like to throw that out there because
suing them,
your old band Sullen.
Yeah, what I was thinking. Maybe if I wanted to get the band back together and my other bandmates Pat and Scott didn't want to, then I could just maybe call it the Sullens, and I could be Terry Sullen.
Yeah,
get some replacement Sullens.
You could sue them. You know, even though you guys haven't played in a while, that didn't matter for that Wisconsin band Midian.
Midian. I hate those guys. Those guys are dicks.
The Wisconsin Midian, anyway. Not the Oregon Midian. Those guys rock.
Yeah. I got a record by him. It has a name on it, and it's spelled with two D's, not
two
one.
Two D's.
I do.
They should have changed their name to
vinyl.
Two D's.
Yep. That's one of my vinyl collectors is the Midian album. And I want to get all the old Yob ones. But that's what I was. Did you ever hear that band U.S. Christmas? Yeah, those guys, the guy from that band has a solo thing going, and he's doing a tour, I guess, but Mike Scheidt is playing with them, with him, in Philadelphia on July 22nd.
Solo stuff?
Yeah, I don't even know. And if anyone's heard that, it's not for everybody, but it's awesome.
I like it.
It was the one song that they had the video for, it reminded me of Cat Stevens or something.
Cat Stevens?
Yeah, Hans hates it.
Huh. It was pretty acoustic-y.
And you know what? I went on I don't know if it was Blabbermouth or Loudwire.net or one of those things, and they had the video posted on there. And there was major haters. going on.
Yeah, saying I saw that.
This is the most gayest song I've ever heard in my entire
life.
You're
always going to have haters, though. And when you got haters, that means you have too many fans to please everyone.
Oh, good call on that one.
Yeah, you know. You can't please a million people.
No, you could.
You could please 30.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something else I could say to make you say, what?
What?
Yeah, I think so too.
If you
I haven't heard
are,
the whole thing.
Our Doom fans, you guys want to check out the new Sick Daddy Radio podcast episode 3 episode. With the New England band Stasis. Their new stuff was done with Billy Anderson.
Billy Anderson.
Doom
God.
Fame.
Yeah. Well, he's got all kinds of fame.
Yeah.
Doom cred.
Yeah.
But and he's one of those guys that you think, oh, man, I wish that he could record our album. It's not out of reach. Some band Mendoza, some friends of mine from Canada.
Those guys
awesome
are great.
And they were talking about, who should we have record our new album a couple years ago? And they're like, oh, we should get Billy Anderson. Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm like, no, wait, we should really try. And so they called him or emailed him or whatever they did. And he said, you come down to San Francisco to my studio, $1,000, I'll do it. And
hell yeah,
that's an amazing price. I don't know, most studios charge, I don't know if it was a time limit or if he just liked them that much to let them do it. It's always awesome producers already know of you and like they're a fan, like kind of like
that is cool. You know, you never know unless you try, and if you want to go after a producer, just you might as well try, you know. I mean, because isn't it Tad Doyle, you know, he does stuff with local stuff all the time.
They just had a big renovation at this Witch Ape Studios, and it's kind of, I don't know, I have a couple friends who are a little bit starstruck. We won't mention any names, but he might be a guest on our show sometimes. He's a little starstruck about people like Tad Doyle, you know?
Yeah.
He's just a totally down-to-earth. I've never had words with him, but, like, he is my friend on Facebook. And not only that, but he's liked some of my posts, and he's commented, and my friend was like, Tad Doyle liked your post. And I was like, well, big deal, you know, whatever. But that's cool. But it's just good to know that you could. He's totally approachable. You could send him a Facebook message and say, I'd like to book my band into, you know. And Paula, formerly from Perpetual Conversion, she's good friends with Peg and Tad and stayed with them many times when HC Minds was playing up there. And the guys from Norska, he's a good he's a friend. Yeah. He's a nice guy, you know. And I don't know what his rates are, but it sure would be awesome to pack all of our shit up and go up there and record at his studio.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. And any other bands that are wanting to, if you love Tad or if you don't even know who Tad is, just check out Witch Ape Studios there in Seattle. That's a long ways to go, but it'd be well worth it.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah. So now where are we at? We're probably about halfway through the podcast right now. Somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you're speaking about movies. You guys you hear that they're going to make another Trailer Park Boys movie.
Nice. Nice.
The third. Yeah, I love those guys, and I thought that they were done, you know, and they kind of blew up like they had to die before they got huge, you know, kind of like Jim Morrison or you know, Jimi Hendrix, you know. Like when they were done and they did their last season 7, and then they had a movie or two, then it was like then they blew up, and they were like cult classic. Well, wanted to mention this because a buddy that came up and supported me at the Helium thing, he's been in talks with the guy who plays Cyrus.
Cyrus?
Who's, yeah. His name, I should have it up, but I don't. His name is Bernard. That's his first name, and he's got a kind of weird last name. We'll get to it before the end of the show. But
Cyrus.
His name's Cyrus. SafetyAlwaysOff.com is his,
because
his dad gave him a gun in grade 7. He's like, it's the only thing that piece of shit ever gave me. Great. Safety, always off. So he's been doing some stand up.
That's awesome.
And he's doing like a dual persona. He'll do his Cyrus thing, and then he does his regular, I'm this regular guy, and he does some stand up and whatnot, and
that's
doing some signings. And just because of the popularity of Trailer Park Boys, so he's getting good turnouts.
That's
and so,
nice.
So he's trying to book a West Coast tour. So, my buddy Sean McLean, he's been putting out some pictures of Cyrus with his little contact on it, and he's going to get some press kits, and he's hoping that maybe I might get to open up a couple shows for Cyrus.
That would be sweet.
And so I'm going to talk to the people at the Green Room Comedy Club in Eugene and try to get him a gig there. They have a confirmed gig in Vegas, and I hope to believe Sean when he tells me, but he goes, pretty sure that you'll be able to do the Vegas show. But wow. That'd opening for Cyrus in Vegas? What? Safety always off. He's got a cool Corvette that says Dick right on it with a arrow pointing right to Cyrus. That was my Bubbles impersonation. So if you guys haven't heard of Trailer Park Boys, you got to check them out.
Oh, for sure. That's
the videos, the DVDs are available through eBay or probably Circuit City or any of those places now. Netflix, of course.
And Phil Collins is on it. You got to watch it if Phil Collins is on it.
Philadelphia Collins.
What is that Trailer Park Boys? Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
The Trailer Park Boys is one of those shows that's set in Canada in a trailer park, and it's about these guys who go to prison every year, and they get out of prison, and they say, I'm never going back to prison. And then Ricky, he grows dope in his car, and Bubbles lives in a shed.
Which everybody wants to do.
Bubbles, he's got really thick glasses, and he's got an underbite. He talks kind of like this, and he's been living in sheds all of his life since his...
With kitties.
Since his parents left him. His dad got in some trouble, and so they left him. And left him in the shed, but yeah, and so it's just the life and times of these trailer park boys, and they're always got something going on. Freedom 35, where they were going to grow a bunch of weed and sell it to the guards at the prison.
they pave a driveway out of hash.
They pave a driveway out of hash.
Yeah, that creates all sorts of
actually.
Drama.
Speaking of Cyrus, they did steal 101 kilos of hash from Cyrus and his boys Terry and Dennis, and. Then got them sent to jail, and then they didn't know where to stash the weed or the hash, so they just heated it up and pressed it into a driveway in front of their house. And all the people in the trailer park are like, that's a fucking awesome driveway, because, you know, you usually just got gravel in the trailer park. They're like, you guys got some money or something, huh? That's a nice fucking driveway. He's like, stay off my fucking driveway. It's like, come on, man. I'm just trying to check it out.
And that's more stuff that's available on the instant Netflix, right?
Yeah, so the Trailer Park Boys, it goes on and on.
We probably shouldn't mention them unless they're going to give us money.
Season 7, they go on, and Sebastian Bach's on there from Skid Row. He's a model train enthusiast, and him and Patrick Swayze have a battle. Well, Patrick Swayze actually would give no permission to use his name, so they had to spell it differently. And he had the Swayze train. He was going off the rails on the fucking Swayze train, and then they smuggle a bunch of hash over the border from, or no, I guess it was weed, over the border from Canada to Maine on a train, on a little remote control train.
Nice.
And they went through a tube under the way. It's fucking awesome. And they traded it for like $480,000 worth of cigarettes.
Speaking of DVDs.
That is a lot of money.
Speaking of DVDs, I was over at a friend's house the other day, and I saw they had a Judge Judy DVD. It had two episodes of Judge Judy.
We talked about that on another episode, remember? Yeah.
Did we already talk about that?
You say your thing. What?
What?
Yeah. And you said, why would they be on there? And we decided that you would have been on the show.
We already talked about that.
Dude, you got to listen to your former episodes.
Dude, I thought I did.
I didn't even get you to say.
I thought that was Aftercast.
What?
What?
Okay, this story will get you to say what. We are, at least I'll speak for myself, I'm a marijuana enthusiast slash promoter.
I did not even know that about
you. Marijuana, yeah, I like to smoke it.
What?
I like people to make it legal, and I like to perform for free at the Cannabis Cafe as a...
I'm free.
I donate my time at a medical facility.
Anyway,
so people give you a bad rap. Oh, you're such a stoner. You don't know what you're doing. In Phoenix, Arizona, a marijuana-smoking woman was arrested on Saturday after police say that she forgot her 5-week-old son was on the roof of her car.
What?
See? I knew I could get a what out of you on that. Yeah,
5-year-old on top of her
car?
5-month-old.
It's a baby, dude. Okay,
it's so like the Jackass episode.
19-year-old Catalina Clouser was booked on the charge of child abuse and aggravated assault, according to the Phoenix police. Her and her boyfriend.
She might as well have hit it with a bat.
So check it out, how they bash the pot smokers. Listen, propaganda. This
pot?
Is propaganda. Yep. Clouser and her boyfriend were smoking marijuana in a park late Friday night, and then they left with the baby to buy some beer. Now, that's the problem right there is the fucking beer, all right? It wasn't the weed. Okay, officers stopped the car, and the boyfriend was arrested for a suspicion of DUI, and then the police said that Clouser went to a friend's house where she admitted to smoking one or two additional bowls of marijuana. She left about midnight with the baby asleep in her car seat, and she put the child on top of the vehicle, and that's where she left him. The baby fell off the car in the middle of an intersection and was found unharmed, still strapped into the seat. Laughing, having a good old time. I'm adding that in, but that would be funny.
I know. I was thinking bath salts when you said that.
She had just given the baby a bath in bath salts, and apparently the baby had accidentally ingested some bath salts while the baby started eating the mother's fingers off when she tried. I'm totally making that's all that a, up. Yeah, but that would be awesome. This is The Onion. No, but this is a true story. The witnesses who were friends with this chick told the police that that was her baby, and it was taken to a local hospital as a precaution, but it was totally fine. But it's now in the possession of the Child Protective Services because the mother is a stoner, not because of the beer. A marijuana-smoking woman.
Oh, jeez. Not because
marijuana-smoking woman.
Not because of her own personal
you
neglect.
You left your baby on the top of the car, yeah.
I mean, it can't be her own fault. It has to be the fault of a marijuana cigarette.
Marijuana. No, it was two additional bowls that fucked her up.
Oh, yeah, well... It depends upon what you're smoking, I guess.
She's instantly bad because, I mean, she smoked pot, right? Yep.
Yeah. Yep. If she would have left the baby on the car...
You know straight people do that shit all the time. It's never
yeah. I've seen Johnny Knoxville do it on Jackass.
I know, you're wearing the Jackass shirt.
And he was straight.
See.
Hey, well, maybe someday we'll have some pictures of us podcasting. It'll be incriminating pictures, though.
Yeah, it'd be bad.
So, yeah, I figured that'd get a what out of you. A what?
Heck
what?
Yeah. I recently... ran across this Facebook post and it said that this guy would get you 1,000 likes. 1,000 likes on your page for like
Are you trying to lose weight or something?
1,000 likes. And I was like,
are you trying to lose weight?
Yeah, I am.
Because you're running across Facebook.
Yeah, I was running across Facebook and I ran into this thing because I was just sitting there.
Walk over it.
So I thought $20, you know, I'll check it out.
1,000 likes on your Facebook page?
1,000 likes on a Facebook page. And the one I was looking at only had 85. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, I mean, even if that's 20 more people that actively pay attention out of 1,000, you know, whatever. So I thought I'd, you know, take one for the team. And so I gave the guy $20 and he said 12 hours to 2 weeks, I would see 1,000 new likes. And I asked him beforehand, I said, how do these likes come? He's like, well, I just put it through all my promotional channels and, you know, until you get 1,000 likes. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, it must be real people, right? And so like 24 hours after I paid him, I start seeing these incredible amount of likes. I go and I had 85 and then I got like 2,400.
Dude, I watched
it
go up.
Yeah, you know, you could
send me a message
and it would go up.
He's got over 2,000 likes now.
And so I clicked and took. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, 24. But I went and checked in, and I looked on the new likes, and there's like the names and stuff, and then
who are they?
Three of the profile pictures are the same bald dude.
Yeah, see,
and
they're
then
not real
others,
likes.
And I look at their profiles, and they're all like, you know, basic profiles with nothing on them. And I'm like, you know, I'll take the $20 just to let people know that that kind of shit's bullshit and it's a big old con.
So someone will come to your page and they'll see, wow, they got 1,000.
And that's fine if that's what you're offering. If you're offering 1,000 fake likes so people will think, so your page will look cooler, that's fine. But don't put it out there as if it's real people that you can lead them to your page, but you can't make them listen, as he said. You know, and I was like, well, if you're leading people to my page, yeah, but if you're leading fake people to
fake
my page.
Fake likes.
You know, I would have, you know.
Two-sided thing, though.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, people out there would pay $20 for 1,000 likes just to get people to go, okay, that band seriously.
Have people drive people to their websites.
I've seen
money, and it doesn't always work.
Yeah,
I've seen certain local bands who I know don't get these huge turnouts who have, like, 12,000 likes on Facebook, but they only get like 12 people at their show.
Yeah, my thing isn't you know, what he's doing and charging. It's just that, you know, it's a deceitful way to just tell people that they're real people when they're not.
Fake likes.
Yeah, fake likes.
This is an anti-shout-out for fake likes on Facebook. You like Facebook? You like fake likes? Fake likes.
I know. How big of a network would you have to?
That means we got 10 minutes left of the podcast. Did you hear that? That's our little 10 minutes to go. So we probably maybe better get to some plugs before we run out of time. You know what we didn't mention at the beginning of the show? We didn't mention any of our Amazon or any of that stuff.
Oh, we didn't.
You guys should go to tagcastpodcast.com. We're so excited just to get in here each week, you know.
Yeah.
And we feel for you guys when you have to wait from Friday
Wednesday.
You know?
They haven't had to wait till Friday.
And we can even see on our little chart of our insights that, you know, the attention is waning on those days. It's waning. When it wanes, it pours.
Yep.
Now, people they don't have none to download. So we're going to have some extras coming up for you guys in the coming weeks. Some maybe extra Monday casts just to get you through.
Once we get that mobile app going out, which should be out in a couple weeks at the most. But you can go over to our website, and up in the upper right-hand corner, there's ways to support us. The big one we like to promote is using it to click the Amazon link, which doesn't cost you anything but can help support. Somebody bought some gnome shoes.
I saw that, dude. That was weird.
I knew the person personally, and they're a big shoe fan, and they were looking at garden gnomes, and I thought, well, I'll just shoot them over the shoe gnome and see what they think of it. And they liked it so much.
That they bought
it? And they were so excited, they posted a picture of it when they got it shipped to them. And we made a little bit of money out of that, and it'll help us out if you do the same.
Yeah, they bought one shoe gnome, and we got $5,000.
Yeah, it was an expensive shoe gnome.
No, the shoe gnome was only like $40.
Yeah.
But we got $5,000. So that's just to let you guys know, if you just buy a CD, go buy a Victims of Eternal Decay CD on Amazon for $2.99. MP3. We'll get like $40 million. Just kidding. We don't even get like, we get a penny on the dollar or something like that. I don't even know. I'm just talking out my ass right now. But
we'll get a little.
And it's not like we're going to make a bunch of money off you guys. We're just trying to keep the show going and keeping it going for free.
You can also buy an ad spot for like $5. We'll just do like a 15-second ad here, and
and if you want it kind of snazzy, I can do a little snazz. I got some sound effects, and I got a little mixer. I can make a little Sunday available only for one day.
I
can do that, or we could do a live read where we just say, hey man, have you ever heard of the Brownsville car wash?
That's just for $5. That's some economical power.
The other day
right there,
I drove through this huge mud puddle and my car got really dirty. What should I do?
Yeah, and Terry's got the experience he has.
You'd say, go down to the Brownsville car wash, and for 75 cents, you can suck all the dirt out of your rug.
How much time do you get to suck your rug?
For $1.50, you get 5 minutes of wash time.
Yeah.
And for each additional quarter that you put in before the time runs out, you get another 50 seconds.
Nice.
So, and for the vacuum, what's that?
As endless minutes.
Endless minutes. Wow. Sounds like a phone plan. And then for 75 cents, you can suck your car for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
75 cents for 5 minutes, which I'm not trying to undercut. My place might not look as good as the rest, but it works just as well. And plus, you're helping out your friend, Terry. But see, now that wouldn't be a live read. I got out of control. We would just do a quick 15-second live read of a, come on down to the Brownsville Car Wash where you can get your car washed.
And Terry has commercial experience. He was in a local commercial.
I'm an actor.
Yes.
My name is Steve.
Yes, he was Steve. I don't know if any of you have seen that video, but I've been getting shout-outs from locally.
It was so weird because I recorded that back in May of 2011.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw some people.
That's over a year ago.
Calling me from Bend, my sister. Shout out to Sandy.
She saw it in Bend?
She saw it in Bend, and her friend Alex kept seeing it.
The Steve campaign is paying off for them, apparently, because they are reaching them more out.
Previous to the show that we played with Jason Schmidt's new band, he sent
Warm
me a
Gadget.
Message about setting up a show with Warm Gadget, which has already came and gone. And at the PS of that message said, PS, did you do a TV commercial? So people were seeing it in Bend, and no one had seen it over here except on YouTube, because I posted it on my YouTube so my family and friends could see it. Well, then about 4 months ago, it started playing over here. Now everybody from my dad to Hans's 7-year-old son. Hans's son saw it watching Entertainment Tonight at 7:30 p.m. and mostly they see it during the Steve Wilkos. Lance was watching Dr. Phil.
What?
Yes, he was.
What?
He was actually listening to Dr. Phil, but then all of a sudden he's in the kitchen doing whatever you do in the kitchen, and he heard.
Hi, my name's Steve.
Yeah. I can't even remember. My car was in the shop. That's the first thing I say. I had another friend who was working at like a medical facility, and they had a TV in the waiting room, and she's helping this old lady, and then all of a sudden she's like, then I heard Terry saying my car was in the shop. It's like, oh, it's Steve. And then my dad's old friend, he's like, hey, is your son okay? Because I heard he had an accident. And he's like, did he change his name to Steve? Or, and he's like, no, he was, did commercials acting.
That's like when you see those reenactments on TV of like the
right.
the murder scenes. And then you see that person.
That's
and
a
like,
murderer. But it, yeah, and it says actor portrayal of actual client. It says in little letters on the thing. So he's like, so he didn't have an accident? He's like, no. And he goes, well, did he get a settlement?
Well, he did, but he changed his shorts.
He goes, did he get a settlement? And he's like, no, he didn't get a settlement. He got $150 for doing the commercial. And he's had to say his name was Steve. And he's like, so he's lying on TV. He's lying. Jared Johnson also, I saw your TV commercial. You fucking liar. He goes, your name isn't Steve. And you didn't slip in no rental shop. You fucking, I go, okay, listen to this, dude. Have you ever seen that movie called The Doors, which I knew was his favorite movie? He's like, I love that movie. That's my favorite movie. I go, yeah, Val Kilmer. He's a fucking liar. He's not Jim Morrison, and he did not take peyote in the desert and see the Indians spattered
well,
on Indian road bleeding. How?
He wasn't.
And he's like, that's different because that's a classic. And I said, this Dwyer Simpson attorney commercial is pretty fucking classic. Did you see the spread that I got in the background after I got my large sum of money? Dwyer Williams Potter got to the truth, and I was awarded a large sum. And, you know, see, I wanted to stray a little bit from, you know, my friends told me, dude, you would never say they got to the truth and my case was settled for a large sum of money. They're like, you would say, dude, I got paid, bitch. Or, you know, and they're like, please stick to the script, Mr. Guile. You can't be saying we got paid, bitch. But so anyway, yeah, you guys can, we can do a commercial for you guys, and you'll be heard by at least 40 people.
Yeah.
I don't know how many down, what am I going to call them? We were going to call them taggots, but that's kind of derogatory.
Yeah.
How about the tag casters?
The tag casters?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, maybe
what do you guys
want to
be called?
Submissions.
You know, like Donkey Show has the Throbbits?
Yeah.
Maybe we could have a name for our fans and our listeners.
Yeah, send in your submission of what you guys think
taggots.
You guys should be called.
Taggots. You guys are nothing but a bunch of taggots.
Contact at tagcastpodcast.com. We want your questions. We want you guys to be involved with the show.
Who invited that taggot?
Yeah, we can even come to your bar and do the show.
Yeah, if you would like to book us to do a live show, we'll do two live shows for you, and then we'll bring in some people.
And that is awesome that you said the words live shows.
Live shows. What do you got for
plugs,
live shows
plugs,
coming up?
Plugs, plugs, plugs. We're going to make some intros. Our little things. Yeah, we got June 8th, which is what, next Friday?
Yes.
Not 2 days from now, but no, wait, it is. What's today? Oh, yeah, it's this Friday. 2 days.
This Friday.
2 days from today, which is Wednesday, is Friday, June 8th. We got Christine Levine and Lonnie Brune.
She's funny.
At Diablo's. And that's in Eugene, 959 Pearl, $8 in advance, $10 at the door. Seth Milstein will also be running that show and doing a set as well. And yes, she's got a podcast too. So check out Christine Levine, up and coming comic. She's going to be in a movie called The Unbookables coming out pretty soon. The next night, Saturday, June 9th, the Green Room Comedy Room Comedy Club, whatever it's called there in Eugene. It's on Willamette there, 710 Willamette. We got Seth Milstein, Mac Chase, Bryce Jones, Drew Tiedemann from The Donkey Show, Carmichael McGee, and Chris Castle. So that's a packed show full of local comedy for you guys. Pretty much the best of the best from Eugene.
And on Sunday, come on down to the Dixie to see Crimson Guardian Unplugged.
Woo.
Live.
Yeah.
Minors can come in with an adult. It's coming to shows like 3 to 6, but there's no real opening act, so, you know, just come on down and hang out. And,
come down and do a set.
Crimson Guardian will do an acoustic set, which I'm not sure, have they done that before? Or maybe
no.
Close?
They post a thing saying that it's going to be different.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So come on down and check it out. Relax on Sunday.
MRSA Unplugged. And also, before I forget, the night before that, which is also Saturday, if you're not into comedy or you're going to be in Portland, Yob will be at the Hawthorne Theater.
You got to see that. You guys got to see Yob live.
They are headlining the Hawthorne Theater with two bands I've never heard of, and I can't remember their names, so bummer for them.
No,
but they're probably good.
Show too,
but,
so that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So that's June 9th, which is Saturday night.
Be in Portland for that night.
Yep. We got a bunch more shows. I'll try to run through them as quick as possible. Friday, June 22nd at Tiger Bar. It's my band, Griefhammer. We get to play with Wolf Pussy. I've been wanting to play with Wolf Pussy since I was a little kid. Because I saw a wolf when we were camping one time, and it was a girl wolf, and she was in heat. And I was like, man, I wish I could play with that.
She rubbing her pussy on the ground with her back legs dragging.
Also, Pink Zilla, which I guess is maybe a pink dinosaur of some sort, and Doom Sower.
Breast cancer awareness dinosaur.
So it's the Summer of Doom Chronicles of Rock show, the 22nd. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's $5, maybe 7 at the door. I'm not sure, 21 and over. Sons of Confusion is playing at the Dixie on the 30th, which is a Saturday, 9 p.m. That's a free show. Black Hair, Paper Train, and Gnosis. I always say Gnosis, but I'm pretty sure it's Gnosis. It has a silent G. The G is silent. And then Saturday, July 7th, we're going on down the line a ways, but I want you guys to mark your calendars for this. It's the second showcase, comedy showcase at the Dixie Creek Saloon. The very funny Don Frost coming down from Portland. He's hilarious. He won't need a microphone, but we give him one. He holds it down by his belly. But he's really loud, and he's really funny. Joshua Finch will be there, myself, Seth Milstein, Carmichael McGee, and your host, Dustin Gadgel.
Yeah, I'm not backing out of that one.
Don't back out. You know, yeah, so anybody who might have not heard the first part of the podcast, I don't know how that would be. But if you weren't paying attention earlier.
People like to listen to the plugs only sometimes.
I don't think that Dustin's going to be doing his thing. He's not
ready. Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
It's on me.
It's on him. So if you're going there for him, if you want to go anyway, you could probably still just say you're his guest. And then if he doesn't show up, you'd probably still get to go for free. Yeah. So you know who you are, Verla. We're making our podcast louder.
If you still
want to
go,
louder.
I'll still give you tickets. You just show up there, what, half an hour early, and you'll get in. And then you'll go, oh, that guy never showed. What are they going to do, kick you out?
Nope. You'll get to say, well, shoot, I thought he was going to be here. He must have backed out at the last minute. They're like, nope, we listened to their podcast. We know what's going on. Helium subscribed to us.
I would like to. Are you done with your shows?
Pretty much. We got the open mic things if any comedians are interested in trying out their stuff. That's every Sunday and Thursday at the Green Room, which I already said, 710 Willamette in Eugene, right next to Doc's Pad. So that's free. Sign-ups are at like 7:30, and then you go on at like 8 or 8:30, and you can do 5 or 10 minutes and see if you got what it takes to be a funny guy.
Heck yeah. Do it.
I love it. It's fun. You should try it.
And I would like to encourage people, I'll put a link up on the website because I don't know the website at the current moment, but check out the artwork of Sean Shock. Give him some props, man. That guy's got some great artwork.
Let me see if my stoner memory works. I think it's Sean Shock at blogspot.com.
Yes, yeah, but it's not Shock like you would think Shock.
It's not Sean like you think it was Sean either.
Yeah.
It's Seen Shock.
We'll put a link on the website. Check it out. Give that guy some love.
It would be www.seanschock.blogspot.com.
I do believe he's right on that. So check that out.
I've done a lot of work with Sean. He's a good dude. He was a tour manager for me once when we went on a 12-day stint on the road to Texas.
He's got great rates, too, if you're looking for artwork for anything. And he does quick work. And
he plays drums for
HC Mines. He loves to draw skulls.
He actually recorded at Witch Ape Studios with Lucica. He filled in on drums for their latest album, which check that out. So, yeah, check out Sean Shock. Give him some work. He got great artwork and
He does.
Decent rates. He'll work with you if you're cool. If you're not cool, then he probably won't even do anything for you.
Yeah,
because he don't fuck around with no bullshit. So he's a no nonsense guy.
Yep.
And he used to play drums for a old punk band called the Detonators.
Right on.
Which is an awesome band.
Sweet.
Yes, Bruce. All right. So, yeah, this has been episode 6. Oh,
we are the TagCast.
Yeah.
And rock on.
Are we going to end? We got to at least end with our sound bed. You know, and we got some not haters, just people who are trying to help us out, telling us, you know, need to tighten things up. We do. We need to tighten things up, and we're working on it.
We'll get there.
We're going to see. You'll see some improvements. Oh, shoot. Well, we got a different sound bed this time.
Yep.
Still, it's by Floyd and Bottom. And thanks for tuning in, you guys. Tune in on a Friday for episode 7.
Rock on.
And metal. We'll be right back. Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.